or severing the brain from the rest of the body.
And we're back there. Severing the brain from the rest of the body, you know. Gotta tell you, decapitation is a happy, happy thing because it's done in so many different horror films in and around Halloween. I don't know. Did I actually just describe that as a happy, happy thing there, Adam?
Sounds like you did.
I know.
That's one of my favorite movies, too.
Dawn of the Dead. You know, I'm glad you said that because, like I said, I was just telling Jen it's one of my favorites as well. We were just doing our Halloween favorites, and the original Dawn of the Dead is one of my favorites. Did you see the remake?
I did see the remake.
What'd you think?
Not a big fan. No.
Like I say, it just lacked that cultural relevance that the original has. You know, it's sort of sending up society and everything else, and I think that's something that kind of bugged me a little bit about it. You know, I thought it was okay.
Absolutely. The 70s and 80s ones.
Yeah.
All of the low-budget movies, they tried to put in a little bit of social commentary. I mean, make them a little more socially relevant.
With Dawn of the Dead sort of being the king of that.
Absolutely.
With consumerism
the new ones,
and all that.
It just doesn't
cut right to the gore. And speaking of gore, too, nothing can really beat Tom Savini's creations, I think, from way back when in the original Dawn of the Dead.
I like the blue zombies, too.
Oh, yeah. Can't go wrong with that.
And but if you want gore, Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead is the king.
Day of the Dead is the king, I think, a little bit on gore, certainly. But again, for me, Dawn of the Dead is personal favorite.
It's my personal favorite, too. It's fun. It's the adventure movie. It's like a comic book.
No.
And the blue zombies and the orange blood is just... I love it.
I got to tell you. You sound like you've seen a lot of movies, I got to tell you. How many horror films have you seen, do you think? I'm in the thousands myself.
Yeah. I don't keep track anymore, I gotta say.
I'm guessing you're
I have no idea. This week, I've seen probably 5 or 6.
Oh, wow. Gearing up for Halloween?
No.
Okay, just regular?
A regular week, yeah.
Nicely done. Yeah, you know, I gotta tell you, I think that's certainly over me. Okay, I won't go in and say exactly how you hook that up, just in the cases there's any kind of nefarious
activity. I do the website for that, one of the best video stores, On Location Movie Cafe.
Nicely done.
Little plug.
On Location Movie Cafe. Now, I've seen your film, and I can't understand why that seems a little familiar.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a scene in my movie that takes place the On Location Movie Cafe on Pembina. So.
And one of the actors in your movie is actually the owner-operator of that.
Yep, absolutely. He makes a cameo in my movie and has an untimely demise.
Yes, without giving too much away.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ruining it for anybody,
there's
a lot of killings in my movie, so...
There really is. Gotta tell you, clearly, you've enjoyed setting these deaths up in the film to be as realistic as possible. What would you say you drew from? What would you say were your influences on that? You know, you'll take a look at a scene and you go, you know, I think it can make it a little bit better. Maybe I'll steal a little bit from here or a little bit from there.
I don't know what my influences are, but it's just, I think everyone in every movie, even Dawn of the Dead, I think they're trying for realism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just your attention to detail. Like I always ask myself, what's it going to take for me to believe this?
Yeah.
Like what detail do I need to see?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a scene with a gas can, and I bought a gas can to use because I wasn't going to pour real gasoline on somebody.
Right.
But I spent all night before.
I'm thankful that you didn't, by the way.
Absolutely.
In the film, it completely looks like you did. So.
Well, I spent the night before painting it with acrylic paint to try and make it look as stained and greasy and gross as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's like a couple seconds of the thing.
Right.
So hopefully, the goal is, right, that little detail sells
it. Authentic
as
possible.
And you don't think about it as an audience member. You're not like, oh, look, that looks like it's been...
It's just a quick little thing, absolutely. But being
as authentic... But it's those little... If you can get enough of those, then you can hopefully...
Genuinely authentic as possible.
Right. Hopefully people think they're seeing a snuff.
Certainly. And that's... I got to be honest with you. I want you to know I'm paying you this as a compliment, but I found your film completely disgusting and very disturbing to watch at times, which was very clearly intended to be that way.
Sure, absolutely.
And I got to tell you, it might very well take the cake at this year's Short Film Massacre as being, I think, one of the most disgusting and bloodiest films. And I got to tell you, it's from audience reaction. Who have you showed this to as of yet?
That's the thing. I've showed this to virtually nobody.
In fact,
this final edit, no one has seen except you guys.
Yeah.
And I haven't even had a chance to really talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really excited because my lead actor, for example, Mac Morton, hasn't seen one frame of the movie.
Oh, wow.
Hasn't seen, like, raw footage or anything. So I'm you know, on pins and needles.
I got to tell you, Mac might be a little wary of the fact that if he's walking down the street now, people are going to be terrified of him. Based solely on this movie.
That's what I would tell him just before we shot a scene. You know, you better do this right. because they're going to recognize you either way as a bad actor or as a murderer.
Well, like I say, out of pure adulation on this, I got to tell you, you really did a great job setting up these murder and death sequences. And nothing's going to put people in the mood for Halloween more than seeing some of these truly horrible images. Is there any point where you felt maybe I've gone too far?
That's a good question. I don't think I've gone too far in the movie, you know? I'm never worried about going too far in the movie, like people might, but I'm worried about going too far on the shooting of the movie. And it's funny because you ask somebody before a scene, like, I want you to really sell me the agony that you're going through. I want you to make me believe it. If you can cry, if you can scream, like this is a lot to ask from people because I'm using basically non-actors. I have two actors in my movie and
low budget.
They're only in for a few seconds, but so you really, you know, spend a lot of time talking to them about it. And then they deliver, like one scene in particular with this girl in a chair that we did. Yeah. And she starts crying and screaming.
Yeah.
And honestly, I stopped shooting because I felt terrible. I thought, oh, my God. And then I said, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm doing what you're asking me to do. And
awesome.
And that's the moment where you're...
I gotta tell you, that doesn't surprise me because that is one horrific sequence in this film to watch.
There's nothing actually happening, though. She doesn't... Yeah. Nothing touches her.
Well, then kudos to her. She's non-actor professionally.
Well, not professionally. She's studying to be an actress. So she's actually phenomenal.
Let's give her credit
here
on the show.
Jolene Shepherd. I was...
Jolene Shepherd.
She's great.
Kudos to you if you're listening
Absolutely.
Right now because you did a phenomenal job. It was to the point of where I was going to put down my DVD remote control and rush over to help her, and I gotta tell you, it doesn't surprise me at all. That I think it's rather remarkable that you just told me you stopped shooting because you had pretty much the same reaction I had when I watched.
Well, that's the thing. You're creating the artificial, right? But you're trying to make it as real as possible. And it's one thing when you're in the room and you know it's a hot, sweaty, small little room, and you've been in there for a couple hours, and you're in there now with this girl crying. And the thing is, she's my friend's girlfriend, and I only know her, you know, I don't know her well enough to feel comfortable about this. So, it's the place where facsimile and reality overlap a bit, and you get a little worried.
Yeah.
And the truth is, it's not pleasant. You're like,
no.
You know what? I just spent my whole Saturday in a room with a woman screaming.
You just put yourself in that claustrophobic, sweat-inducing environment, and you're not truly enjoying it yourself.
No, it's no fun.
How do you how do you ask your buddy's girlfriend to do this? That's I gotta ask
her. He suggested it. We had another girl lined up who totally bailed, and I won't give her credit for anything, but she bailed twice. And And then this, he was like, well, you know, Jolene will do it. Jolene will do a good job. And I was like, oh, well, maybe, but I don't want to do this to Jolene. We'll come up with something else for Jolene. And we did it, and it was awesome.
Kudos to her.
I love that scene.
I got to tell you, it is, again...
One of my proudest moments.
Yeah, I honestly say certainly it is the antithesis of the film, like it or hate it. I mean, it's difficult...
The antithesis of the film?
Yeah, it's difficult for me to actually say I liked that sequence because I think I'm in the same boat with you, but from a truly horrific... I think that scene really kind of, it tells us a little bit about the lead character. It really does. And it certainly does set that up. And in that sense, I think that scene is integral to the film production as well.
It changes pace at that part of the movie. So hopefully people, I hope people tomorrow night enjoy that.
Oh, you're certainly going to get audience reaction out of that.
You know what? I think people will laugh. Like it's high realism, maybe like briefly in that moment, like, cause there's no dialogue. So you don't have to, you know, buy anybody's like delivery of dialogue, but I think people will laugh, maybe uncomfortably or whatever, but just from my years at the Massacre the past 2 years, I think people will laugh.
I certainly think you're going to get a very strong reaction. I think there will be laughing, but I also think you're right. I think it's going to be even almost nervous laughing at some of this, because, and again, kudos to you, you've shot this so realistically, and you mentioned earlier snuff film, this is, you're approaching that level. I mean, there are certain times where and I've seen every horror film imaginable, B movies, class A horror films, gore films, I've seen a lot, and I was very uncomfortable watching some sequences that you shot here, and to do that on such a low budget is really rather
sometimes
miraculous.
Then the low budget helps, you know.
Yeah.
When you're shooting something on video, I mean, this is the new realism, right? And
right.
It's because video is 30 frames a second, we've been taught since reality TV and Cops, you know, the TV show, that video equals real. You know, video is not fake, but film is fake. Film is flat looking. Film is, 24 frames a second.
Right. glossy.
Anyway, when you go and do it with nothing and you have a shaky camera and everything.
It almost feels like you're watching this on some sort of, you know, hidden cam or something like that.
Sure,
and that can kind of give you that aid to the claustrophobic feel, especially in that sequence with Jolene again. Brave Jolie.
That's how, when you put a movie together and you have no money to do it, you have to sit down and talk about really think through.
Use what you've got.
Yeah, I have nothing. So how am I going to make anyone feel anything? Am I going to make like laugh or cry or be scared? Like with nothing, what can I do? I can disgust people, I can shock people, and I can hopefully, give them something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But
above and beyond that, it can be quite difficult. Absolutely. Now, in your previous years in the film festival, the Short Film Massacre, can you tell us about some of your entries there?
Okay. Well, a few years ago, I tried to make my own full length zombie movie, All Things That Splatter.
Right.
And it went through all these different incarnations, and then I finally got to work on it, and I had a script and everything, and there was a story and a beginning and a middle and an end, and these things that you are important to making a movie or telling any kind of story. And I started shooting it with very little money and my friends, like my own money, like I've never gotten any money for any of these, but like a couple $100 and my friends, and I started shooting it. And then it all fell apart, and like friends bailed and ditched.
Happens, especially with extremely low budget.
Yeah,
no, there's nothing to stop people.
And they're not actors either, and they don't realize how long it takes. Like it's at least a few hours to get 1 minute or 10 seconds. And anyway, the thing fell apart entirely.
Right.
And I ended up editing it into a 10-minute piece, and then this Winnipeg Short Film Massacre thing came up, and all these people I knew said, "Hey, you should put that in." And I did, and it was so much fun that I made another movie last year, a 5-minute short movie, Fanboy, all by myself, because I was so jaded and cynical about using other people. I was like, I'll do this.
I'm doing it all myself.
I will star in it. I will do the camera. And that's why the camera work is like less good, maybe.
Yeah, but it was a fun experience, but a little bit overwhelming, I bet, taking on all the roles yourself.
Fanboy? I made Fanboy in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have something in the massacre. But,
nice.
I got honorable mention last year, so...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. It was fun, and I ended up peeling a lot of paint off of the ceilings in my house, because I duct taped the camera to the ceiling, so...
Yeah. Well, I've been pleased to be selected as one of the hosts for Short Film Massacre. I'm not actually the judge of the film festival, but I got to tell you, you've created some stark realism in that film that you rarely see from entries, and I hope it'll fare very, very well for you. And I would encourage everyone to head on down and check it out, Those with Strong Stomachs.
Yeah, sure. Whatever warning is necessary, but it is called the Short Film Massacre.
Right. So don't expect the Walt Disney Parade.
No, I'm trying to live up to the title of the thing. I really am.
You've not only lived up to it, you've surpassed it. I'm fairly certain.
The makers of Reanimator said, more blood is not enough. So I tried to stick by that while I was making.
Sound great. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you.
I want to have you back. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you. You're
absolutely
clearly not only a filmmaker, but also a fan as well, and that is a great combination. So,
sure, yeah.
Adam Brooks, and we're going to check out your film, Addiction is Murder, which is...
Addiction is Murder, yeah.
It is murder. Yes, and it is going to be at the Short Film Massacre, which is, once again, Friday, the 27th at 9 p.m. at the Cinematheque. I'm going to take the show out here with a little bit of... some more creepy music from one of my favorite B-movies from the past. I also mentioned it a little bit earlier on the show, Night of the Comet. And I'm James, and joined once again, of course, by Jen.